This morning, I want to teach from the Word of God, as I usually do, but I couldn't get a title for my message. But it's something to do with the kingdom. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we taught about the kingdom of God. And last week, we taught about harnessing the kingdom, getting hold of the kingdom. I tried to look for different titles to this, but I couldn't get. So as we keep going, possibly put a title to this message. Amen. Hallelujah. We shall read from Philippians chapter 3. We shall commence the verse from verse number 4, possibly up to verse number 14. Amen. I'll tell you a testimony, an amazing testimony of what happened. You remember I testified last week. Hey, God is amazing. I testified about my son, how he did well at school. Amen. And he was the student of the week. And he was, what else was he? Was given a certificate of achievement in his first 2 weeks at school. Fine. All this is more of encouraging. It's nothing academic. So I went on to buy him a Wii, not an Xbox. Amen. I bought him a Wii. And praise God. Amen. But apparently, I realized that I actually played that Wii 6 days out of 7. Amen. Hallelujah. 6 days out of 7. Amen. Those games are good. They're nice. Let me not say good, but they're nice. Amen. You enjoy them. You play the first one, you want to do the second one. My son said, Daddy, let's play 10. Was it 10? And we kept going. I think we played 15. Amen. And I realized how these gadgets can really take your time. It's easy. Amen. Can you imagine a pastor playing 15 games? Yeah. Come on, Z. Oh, yes, Daddy, you've done it. And high five. And it was, and Leonard kept on saying, Daddy, please, Daddy, I need some jelly or something. And I'll be like, it's okay, sweetie, I'm coming. Because the game was heating up. Amen. Hallelujah. So we decided to put structures to control that. Amen. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? May all the men say amen. You know, as ladies need to understand men, because men love games. Amen. Any normal man loves a game. So if men start playing games, that's why they go for soccer. That's why they go for rugby. That's why they love cars. That's why they love, these supercars and everything. It's in the DNA of men. Amen. But we need to control that. Anyway, that's not the testimony. Here comes the testimony. We decided to use that as bait, because my son, ever since he was born, he has never eaten satay. He has never eaten anything except Weet-Bix. Up to now, he's 5. So what we did was very simple. My wife decided, let's use this as bait. And we said, no game unless and until you eat pasta. On that day, the brother ate pasta. And Tembi was like, wow. Then the following day, Tembi says, no game unless and until you eat noodles. When I came from work, I found the brother busy. Daddy, look at me. Noodles. Let's go for game. I was like, my God. And the next day, the brother ate satay. Amen. Only the parents will understand what I'm talking about. And I was like, if only I had known, I was going to buy Wii when he was 1. Amen. But praise God, I'm a happy parent. Amen. I'm a happy, happy, happy parent. And I applaud my wife for that strategy. Amen. Praise be to Jesus. And to all the parents who are struggling with their kids concerning feeding, I'm not sure if that's going to work for you, but it worked for me. Amen. But please be encouraged. At times, one of the challenges that we have as parents is to compare ourselves with other parents who are doing well with their kids, and you think you're not a parent enough to your child. All children are different. Amen. As God built families, as God builds us up, Let's understand that our children are all different. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Verse number 4, the Bible says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is brought through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been talking about the kingdom. In our first session, we agreed that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the kingdom of God. We went through the scriptures and we agreed that the person of Jesus is the embodiment of the kingdom. The Bible says, in him all things were made. They were made through him. Nothing that is was ever made which was not made through him. Amen. And by him. So in Christ all things consist and they have their being. All things hold together. So we agreed that in Jesus is the kingdom. And we say that the Bible says that when these guys were asking Jesus, where is the kingdom of God? Jesus replied them and said, the kingdom of God, you can't look at it and say, there it is. And you can't touch it and say, here it is. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. So we agree that the Bible says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've got this treasure in our earthen vessels, which is Christ in us. So the kingdom of God is what we now have in us. So we have Jesus Christ in our lives. Last week we talked about harnessing the kingdom, getting hold of the kingdom, pressing on to get hold of the kingdom. And we said, one thing we agreed on was, we said, you can't claim to get the kingdom and be very tender to the devil. Amen. Remember that act that we did? When you're praying for your financial breakthrough, you're like, Lord, give me that financial breakthrough. I need it, Lord. Be merciful. And when you see things happening over and over again in your life, you know, when you see a curse keep happening over and over, you see that your grandfather was cursed, your father was cursed, and your great-great-grandfather was cursed, and the other one that you don't even know their name, the only thing that they know about them is that he was cursed. And then your brothers, they all look cursed. And right now you are seeing elements of curse around you. And your prayer becomes the prayer of a beautiful Miss Universe. Amen. Praise Jesus. Remove my curse. We say there is no way you can get hold of what belongs to you if you have an approach like this. Can I get an amen? Okay, I can see most of us here are immigrants. And most of you, you are here because your home area is not something that you really would want to go back to right now. It's either you are coming from a war zone, or you are coming from an economic crisis, or you are coming from some other kind of a crisis. And then you come to this place that is seemingly a place of abundance because there is food in the stores. And you think that I am like everyone else. I've got a word for you. You are not like everyone else. Are you listening to me? If others are waking up in the morning and drinking coffee, don't wake up as well and go and drink coffee with them and think that everything is good for them and it's going to be good for you. There is a difference. Are you listening to me? There is a difference. So in harnessing the kingdom, you look at yourself and you say, I am going to get hold of it. I'm going to hold it. It's going to be mine and mine and mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, today, we want to look at Paul, and study a little bit about him. There is something called the blessing. Do you know that you, as a believer, you are blessed? The moment you say, Jesus, come into my life, whatever time it was, but when you say, Jesus, come into my life, the Bible tells us that automatically you become blessed. Now, if you look at my son, Nkazimulo has access to everything that I have by virtue that he was born in my family, and I am the father. Whether I run away or I go to the States, he still has got access to everything that I have. So, us as children of God, you find that we are blessed. This is a truth that I need you to know, that you are not cursed, you are blessed. Now, you are blessed not because you have done good things. You are blessed because Jesus loved you. The Bible says that before the foundation of the world, Christ Jesus died for us. So Jesus never died for us because we were good in doing certain things. He died for us when our lives were an actual trash. When there was nothing attractive about us, Jesus came and he died for us. Does this make sense? So, for you to be blessed, you don't have to live a holy life. I'm confronting someone who's thinking now. For you to be blessed, to experience the blessing of God, you don't have to live a holy life. You just need to be born again. That's the starting point. So, we are all blessed. Say to your neighbor, I am blessed with every blessing that comes from above. So the fact that you are born again, it means that you have the blessing of the Lord that comes upon your life. Amen. Do you remember there is a story about Jesus and one of the apostles, I think it was Peter. Jesus goes to him and says, take this net and cast it. Was it in the deep? Cast it in the deep. These guys had been fishing for a while. And then he cast this net. And then the net goes down and the guys have got a big catch. Peter looks at Jesus and he realizes who he is. Amen? And Peter says, oh, what a wretched man I am. I am a sinful man. But Jesus brought the blessing before the sin. So Jesus came and blessed this guy with a lot of fish and then the sin issues came later. Now let's look at the woman who came to Jesus. The Bible says she came and she cried to Jesus and stuff like that. Jesus went on to heal that woman and said, be healed. And she had something for her. He says, go, my daughter, and what? Sin no more. So the blessing comes before the issues of living right. So the problem that we've had in the body of Christ is you get born again and the next thing is you fall into fornication. Now, the fact that now you've fallen into fornication, you are in trouble of forgiving yourself. You stand before God and that sin continually is pointing at you. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. You don't have the blessing of God in your life. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. So what happens is condemnation comes into our lives. And because of condemnation, we can't boldly approach the throne of grace. Amen. And then because of that, that which is supposed to be our blessing does not materialize into a full blessing. We miss out on the blessing of God because we don't know that God blesses us regardless of who we are. Are we together, saints? In Philippians chapter 3, we meet Paul. He's writing to the Philippians and saying, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I trust in the flesh more. And he begins to list the things that makes him qualify to trust in the flesh. I was circumcised on the eighth day according to the stock of Israel. I am of the tribe of Benjamin, because remember, the first king of Israel was a Benjamite, King Saul. He was a Benjamite. And he says, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I am a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I am blameless. Paul speaks about himself. The Bible says, Saul of Tarsus, before that he was a persecutor of the church. And then he meets Jesus on his way to Damascus. Heavens open up. There is light that shines from heaven. And the man gets converted. And then after that, he grows up and he becomes a minister of the gospel. But who is Saul of Tarsus? When you go back to the scriptures, you'll find that he was a young man who was intelligent. Thoroughly intelligent. And the word of God tells us that he graduated under the school of Gamaliel. Whether it was a certificate, a diploma, a degree, a master's, a PhD, or he was now a professor, we have no idea. But what we know is that Gamaliel was a highly respected scholar in his day. So Paul actually graduated under this man called Gamaliel. In those days, young Jewish boys had to be taught the scriptures at a tender age. When you're a young boy, from the age of 5 going up, you had to be taught the word of God. That's why Jesus, when he went to Jerusalem with his parents at the age of 12, the Bible says that their parents left and they were going back to Nazareth, only to find that Jesus is not with them. And then they went back and they were looking for Jesus and they found him in the temple. And they say, Jesus, what are you doing here? And the Bible says, Jesus turned back and said, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I am after my father's business? The word of God says, Mary listened to that and she pondered that thing in her heart. But here is the point. The point is Jesus, at the age of 12, he was in the temple. He opened Isaiah 61. He began to debate with the elders in the temple concerning issues of the word of God. The young man was schooled in the things of the kingdom. Amen. Paul was the same. Paul was thoroughly taught the first 5 books of the Bible. And not only that, the fact that he was a Pharisee, it meant that he also studied the prophets. So he knew the Pentateuch and he also knew the prophets. So the guy was thoroughly schooled. The guy knew the word of God. Let me put a comma there and say to all of us here, it is critical for every Christian to learn the word. Do you know that the biggest predicament in the body of Christ is not church attendance? The biggest predicament in the body of Christ is churches that are full of people that do not know the word. People who have no idea what is in the scriptures. That's why here at Harvest House, we have actually worked so hard to establish the school of ministry so that you may be knowledgeable of the word of God. Amen. Most of you might have seen what I put up on Facebook. We're just starting the word with my wife and we discovered some very interesting things. Things like that Jesus was not born in a stable. But all along, we thought that Jesus was born in a stable and there were cows looking at him and there was grass all over. It is not true. It's not in the scriptures. Jesus was born where? In a house. Amen. And most of us thought that there were three wise men that went to see Jesus. It is not so. There were only three gifts and we don't know how many wise men were there. And most of us think that those wise men came to see Jesus on the night Jesus was born. It's not true. They actually came after, I think, more than 41 days if you do the calculations properly. Because those guys, they lived 700 kilometers away from where Jesus Christ was born. And the Bible says they came to see Jesus after her purification. If you read Leviticus, I think chapter 12, it tells you exactly what needs to happen when someone is born, when a young boy is born. The Bible says for the first 7 days, when a woman gives birth to a young boy, on the eighth day, the boy has to be circumcised. Then after that, a time of purification for that woman, which is supposed to be 33 days, has to come. If you add that together, it comes up to almost 40-something days. So the Bible says these guys, they came after the purification of Mary. So you find that most of us, the problem is we don't search the scriptures. But we just listen to what we were taught in Sunday school. So Paul was not just a minor. Paul was thoroughly schooled in the word of God. That's why he was vehemently going everywhere, speaking with so much force concerning the kingdom and saying, this Jesus, no, we have to stand by the law. That's why Jesus had to come from heaven and say, hey, if I don't stop this guy, the whole Christians are going to be annihilated. So he comes and Paul is saved. A man who knows the word of God. I have an encouragement for you today. If you are not in Bible school, consider going to Bible school. It doesn't matter how many things you know about God. Trust me, you know nothing. Go to Bible school and you will grow in the knowledge of Christ. If you are with me, say amen. And then he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And the Bible says, touching the law, he was a Pharisee. So he knew the law and the prophets. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. And touching righteousness, and the Bible here says, which is in the law. So you see that with the Jews of old, what used to happen was they were so much attached to Moses as a prophet. Moses was the biggest thing ever to happen in their lives. So Paul considered Moses as a great prophet in the same way in which other Pharisees were considering Moses. So the coming of Jesus was a shocking thing. How can Jesus claim to be a Messiah when we all know about Moses? Does this make sense? Does it? Come, Kelvin. Let's dilute this. How many of us know Kelvin? Come, Kelvin. Can you imagine Kelvin standing here and saying, I'm the Messiah? Now, I mean, honestly, just think of it. Kelvin is now saying, bow down to me and worship me. I'm the one who was, who is, and is still to come. Before Moses was, I am. That's what he's saying. Amen. And all of us are coming to, and you start thinking, no, I know Kelvin. He loves fast cars. No. I know Kelvin. I know his life when he was a boy. No. I know Kelvin. You mean Kelvin, the one who married Rue? I know this guy. So you and me, because we are born again and were schooled in the word. Hello? We went to Bible school. And we were not tutored by some lecturer who was on a break. No, we were tutored by Gamaliel. Professor Gamaliel. I went through 4 years of theology under Professor Gamaliel. I did not only study the Pentateuch, Genesis, and Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and what's the fifth one? Numbers. I did not only study those five books, but I also studied the prophets.
I know the word of God. I know about Moses. I know about the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah cannot come from Nazareth. No, Nazareth is just one of those towns that are so much despised. The Messiah cannot be born out of weak parents, parents who are poor. No. Why am I saying they are poor? The Bible says when they presented gifts during the when Jesus was brought into the temple, they brought some pigeons. And you only brought pigeons if that person was thoroughly poor. Otherwise, you are required to bring a lamb. So the parents were poor. They were not the rich elite. No, they were poor. So everything about Jesus confronted the reasoning of the Pharisees. They thought that the Messiah will come with the big wings and with a big army and he will say, I have come to bring the kingdom here on earth. So they were looking forward to the kingdom of God coming, but the kingdom did not come in the very way in which they expected it to come. So Paul convinced that Jesus is not the Messiah. He went on to kill Christians. He started butchering them. He'll get into a place and say, who is a Christian here? And you lift up your hand. Pew. Who is a Christian here? And you see that one dead, you keep quiet. Hallelujah. That's why even after the guy was born again, the scriptures tell us that when he got into the church, no one embraced the Saul of Tarsus. Except Barnabas. Even when he started his ministry, the Bible says that Barnabas had to take Paul and take him to Jerusalem and introduce him to the apostles in Jerusalem and say, hey, this guy is called and anointed of God. Receive him. The guy had brought terror. Are you listening to me? It's like Osama bin Laden showing up and saying, I'm preaching Jesus. I mean, guys, let's think about it. If Osama were to stand here and say, Jesus is Lord, man, you think maybe the guy is, there are some bombs around him. You'll all run away and go as far as you can. Maybe he's a suicide bomber. So do we really get the picture? So most of us, we can easily blame Paul for his attitude towards Christians because we don't understand. But if you understand why he was so passionate about killing Christians, you will know why you really wanted to eliminate him. So Jesus saw that if I don't intervene, this guy will really remove every Christian under the sun. What does Jesus do? He decided to show up from heaven. Because scripturally, no one could debate with Paul. The Bible says politically, Paul was so powerful and so dynamic that he got letters from governors that say, you can kill Christians. So you get into a place and say, I've got a letter. Here is my letter. And when you see the letter with the signature there and the stamp, you have the right to kill everyone. That's why he presided over the killing of Stephen. The Bible says a young man stood by and he was in agreement. So the others were killing and he was looking. They were stoning him until he was dead. So Paul was a serious guy. Amen. He lived as a Pharisee. He upheld the law. In terms of zeal, the Bible says that he killed Christians. Being a Hebrew, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Hallelujah. And he says, concerning righteousness in the law. I love the way he emphasizes it. According to righteousness in the law, he was blameless. Because he sat down and said, I defend the law. I know the scriptures. And I celebrate the Passover. I celebrate, what do they call it? Yom Kippur. I celebrate every celebration that comes, the seven celebrations of the Lord. I do all the feasts. I do everything. So as far as me being righteous, self-righteousness, you can't equate me to you. I am a different man. I'm in my own league. So God said, this one, I need to come down. So he comes down, saves the guy, and the guy says, who are you, Lord? And God says, why are you persecuting me? And we all know the story that comes after that. Thank you, sir. Amen. We all know the story that comes after that. The word of God tells us that
So it says, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. We say it in our first session on the kingdom of God, that the Bible says the kingdom of God, that was Romans 8, chapter, verse what, 14, is it? The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but, come on, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So it's not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's a matter of righteousness. So Paul here is saying, it's concerning righteousness which is in the law. So there is righteousness which is in the law, and there is righteousness which is in grace. So concerning righteousness which is in the law. Now, there are two gospels that you will find being taught or being preached even in our day to day. Number one, the gospel of Moses, and number two, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Moses is the gospel of the law. Hey. The gospel of Moses is the gospel of the law. Okay, let me show you something. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We'll come back to our script. Romans 8. He says, concerning righteousness which is in the law, which means that there is righteousness which is not of the law. And the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is not about food and drink, but it's about righteousness. So this righteousness is not the righteousness which is of the law. It is a different kind of righteousness. It is the righteousness that is that comes through grace. Now, how do you become righteous? We become righteous when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me demonstrate something. Let me have someone different. Any volunteer? Yep. Anyone? Come, sir. Amen. Let me show you what actually happened on Calvary. Now, if you read at your spare time Leviticus chapter 4 and 5 and 6, you'll hear something about the different offerings that were supposed to take place. Amen. There was an offering called a sin offering. Come up here, so that everybody can see this. What used to happen was, the Bible says different people had different offerings. Others had to offer a bull, others had to offer a goat and a lamb. But all in all, it was an animal. So what used to happen in the Old Testament was an animal will come. And just kneel down and pretend you're an animal, okay? You don't have to act. Yeah, but yeah. So an animal will come, and the animal will then be slaughtered. Amen? But the requirement of the animal was that it was supposed to have no blemish on it. It was supposed to be clean. So I come with sin. I bring my sin, and then we slaughter this animal. So this sacrifice, there is a transference. The purity and the holiness of this animal comes to me. Now, all my sins, all my fornication, all my lying, all my thugging behavior, all my every evil thing about me then goes into this animal. So I become pure because of this animal. Amen. So in the Old Testament, there was a lot of killing. Bulls, goats, lambs, and you name it. So that people can actually become what? Become pure. What happened on Calvary was Jesus became this offering. And the Bible says that this offering was now an offering once and for all. In other words, that sin offering that Jesus Christ gave, he took all our sins away, and we took his righteousness, and his righteousness came to us. So I am not righteous because of my works. I am righteous by the fact that Jesus came and he took my sins away and he gave me his righteousness. So the kingdom of God is about the righteousness that is of Christ, not the righteousness that is of the law. The righteousness that is of the law is the righteousness that we find in the law of Moses. If you read about the Ten Commandments, how many know the Ten Commandments? What do they say? What is the most common word in the Ten Commandments? Do not, do not, do not, do not steal, do not kill, do not take your whatever's wife, do not do this, keep the Sabbath day holy, do this, don't do that, do this. That was the righteousness that came through the law. So the righteousness of the law, you were to sit down and say, okay, do not kill. You try not to kill. If you kill, you are in trouble. But then Jesus Christ came and said, I am bringing a brand new righteousness that does not come through works. Because in the law, you had to work for you not to kill. It was work for you not to fall in love with another man's wife. Are you listening to me? You had to work so hard. It does not come natural. So you'll try by all means. That's why even David, the Bible calls him a man after my own heart. The brother, the righteousness in the Old Testament, it was of the law. When he saw a woman bathing, he could not hold himself. He said, let me hide it so that they cannot catch me. You see, the law, you remain free until you are caught. Are you listening to me? You can steal, but until someone catches you, you can evade tax for the next 35 years. The day they catch you, you can be in sport and get all the accolades and the people clap hands for you, and you become the celebrated sportsman in the world. Until they find out that you've been taking drugs, they take away everything. All the sponsorship. That is righteousness according to the law. So we need to be delivered from the law. The worst thing to happen to believers is to remain in the law after salvation. Hallelujah. So it becomes so hard for you not to sin, because you got saved, but you still went on to live according to the law. Amen. So what happens is the righteousness of Christ, it comes free of charge. I am righteous because Jesus died for me. Amen. So I am not righteous because I come to church every day, because I carry the pastor's jacket, because I do this. I am righteous because Jesus died for me. Jesus cleansed me with his own blood. Does this make sense? Are you sure? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hey. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's do another demonstration. Someone come up. Let's do this quick. Amen. Let's suppose Hope is a thief. Amen. And the brother is stolen. Come, Ellen. Let's suppose Hope is a thief and the brother is stolen from brother Ellen. Amen. Steal something from him. Yeah. Get that. All right. And you run away, thief. Mm-hmm. So here's the thief. Amen. So this brother is guilty because he stole something from this brother. Now, Jesus comes and he dies for this brother's sins. What is he really doing? He's actually purging everything that he has ever done. He says, I'm going to pay off everything that you owe that guy. Everything. So he takes all that and he repays him. And let's suppose he gives him even a bonus. And it's all done and it's all finished. Amen. But all of you know that he stole stuff from him. Hello? He did what? He is a thief. So this brother comes to church, and you need to go out with this new brother who is born again. And you're now saying to him, this one is a thief. So fingers are being pointed to him because we're saying he's a thief. Go and sit down. And then
The brother wants to propose love to another sister, beautiful sister. And then and the sister comes to you and says, Spencer, can you tell me, can I really go out with that guy? He says, my friend, that guy is a thief. Are you listening to me? And then you come to Sister Ru and you say, Ru, let's get into business. Let's get into business. I've got this vision and dream. I want to do this in life and everything. And then you go to your husband and says, hey, you know, Happy, my sweet Happy, you know, that brother wants us to start. And the Happy says, watch out for your purse. Maybe it's already gone. The guy is a thief. You get what I'm saying? So what's actually happening here is, you guys, you are busy condemning him. Condemning him for the things that he did. But then he is now in Christ. Jesus has taken away all his sins, all his weaknesses, all his troubles, all his pain, all his frustrations. He has taken it away. So that's why Romans 8 says, now there is no more condemnation to anyone who is in Christ Jesus. The Bible calls the devil the accuser of brethren. He comes to accuse you that you slept with so and so. He accuses you that you did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. But hey, the Bible says there is no more condemnation because I am in Christ. I am hidden in Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? So the gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, is all about us being hidden in the person of Christ. Thank you, Sam. It's all about you being hidden in Jesus. So he says, where's my Bible? Oh. Hey, we can't do without the word, amen. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen to the verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free. Now, when you become born again, there is a change. We always say that on Calvary, there was a divine exchange. It was a kingdom exchange. Before you were saved, you belonged into the kingdom of darkness. And the rule and the law, or the governance of the kingdom of God, of darkness, according to Romans chapter 8, is called the law of sin and death. So in the kingdom of darkness, it was all about sin and death. Sin and death. Sin and death. But then Paul says, listen, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So when you become born again, the law of the Spirit of life, and that Spirit of life is found in Jesus. Hey. So that law, the Spirit of life, has set me free from the law of sin and death. So I am not condemned because of that. That's why Paul will stand up and say, I have taken no man's cloak, even if he knew that at some stage he did. He says, I have wronged no man, even if he know that there are people who died because he persecuted them. It's because he understands the principle that I am now in Christ. Are you listening to me? So what is the kingdom of God? We say the kingdom of God is the embodiment of Jesus Christ. So when you are in Christ, you are in the kingdom. So the fact that you are now in the kingdom of God, it means that no one can condemn you. Are you listening to me? I was a thief at some stage. No one can condemn me. I was a womanizer at some stage. No one can condemn me. I was a witch at some stage. No one can condemn me. Why are you saying that? I am born again. I am spirit-filled. I am blessed, washed. I am going to heaven. I am hidden in the presence of our Lord Jesus. Are you listening to me, church? That's why the Bible says, is there anything that can separate us from the love of God? Nay, nothing. Why? Because when Jesus took me, my God, the righteousness of Christ was transferred to me. Let me tell you something, church. If you sin, it does not make you unrighteous. That's why the Bible says, if you confess your sins, 1 John, if you confess your sins, he is faithful to cleanse you from Huh? From what? So if you confess your sins, so what Jesus Christ is saying here, he's saying, I have done a permanent job. You might be born again today and you had a child out of wedlock. Who cares? I'm back again. I rise up again. I'm born again. I'm a child of the King. Are you listening to me? I might have been a thief. Everybody knows me as a thief. But hey, listen to me. I am a changed man. So Paul says something immaculate, something marvelous in Philippians chapter 3. He says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I count them as loss. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He says at some stage, I was a tent maker, I was an engineer. I knew all this engineering stuff. At some stage, I was good in terms of education in the law. At some stage, I was associated with the best race in the world. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. At some stage, I belonged to a sect of the Pharisees. I have everything to boast about. I was politically connected. But let me tell you something. Of all those things, I count them as loss that I may gain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. So Paul is simply saying that there is something excellent about the knowledge of Christ. He says there is something excellent. You see, when you excel, you do beyond what you normally do. He says there is something good and nice and something gooder than good about the knowledge of Christ. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So listen to church, for you to win Christ, there are some things that you have to count as dung. Amen. For you to win Christ, you have to sit down and look at your profession and say, this is dung. Stand up and look at your education and say, this is dung. Stand up and look at this and say, this is dung. Stand up and look and say, this is dung, that I may win Christ. Do you know the problem that you have, the struggle that you have, is because Jesus is not yet fully formed in you. The kingdom has not fully manifested itself so strongly in you. That's why even in your prayer life, you pray like someone who is, I don't know. It's just because the kingdom is not alive in you. Are you listening to me? That's why you still cheat. You still go all over the place and do things that are far away from the word of God. The kingdom is not in you. You see, Paul is saying that I was a religious man. I used to go to church. I used to stand with the Pharisees. But I'm a changed man, that I may win Christ. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained either, were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul is saying something. I'm about to close. He's saying something very sweet. He's saying, guys, look at me. I don't consider myself as someone who has already apprehended this. Hallelujah. Earlier on, he says that I put everything behind me. Oh, it's the same face. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, let's look at what are those things that are behind. He says, listen, look at me. I count not myself to have apprehended it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. There are some things that are behind that need to be forgotten. Hallelujah. So Paul is simply saying that, look at me. I was circumcised on the eighth day according to the stock of. I can't boast about that. That is the flesh. I was a Pharisee. I can't boast about that. That is the flesh. It's behind. I did this and that, is now behind. And he covers all those 5-6 things. He says, it's behind me now. And then he looks again and says, hey, look at me, guys. I also got born again. I got spirit filled. I saw things that I'm not permitted even to speak. That's behind me. I also began to function under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit. I healed the sick. I raised the dead. That is behind me. And look at me. I've also written 2/3 of the New Testament. That is behind me. There are all the bad things behind me. There are all the good things behind me. But what I know, I don't consider myself as having apprehended it yet. What do I do? Forgetting all that comes, that is behind me, I press on. He says, I press on. He says, I saw things that other people can't see, but I am not satisfied. I press on. I desire to know him. I want to know him, the person of my Lord Jesus Christ. I've been to church for a long time, but I want to know him. I know all the scriptures. I want to know him. I've got all the money. I want to know him. I'm politically connected. I want to know him. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered the Lord. So Paul is saying, Jesus, order my steps. Order my steps. Order my steps. I don't know how to go, but order my steps. I want to know him. Ladies and gentlemen, God is looking for brethren. He's looking for brothers and sisters that are going to change their mentality, that are going to change their approach towards the gospel. Men and women, men of renown, men who are aggressive, men who are serious, men who shall worship God as if Jesus is coming today. It's time to change our approach into worshiping God. Are you listening to me? That's why Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'd rather be with Christ, but for your sake, I will be around that I may know him. Are you listening to me, church? And the Bible continues to say, I know that Jesus may have suffered, that I may also have a fellowship of his suffering. I would rather suffer with Jesus than suffer in the world. Let me tell you, saints, it's time to arise. It's time to change. Revival has come. God is looking for men and women that are going to seek him. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, seek him while he may be found. Seek him while he may be found. The Bible says, they said, when we get there, what should we say? The Bible says, he said, tell them, I am who I am has sent you. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forevermore. Let me tell you something. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know the type of life you've been living as a Christian. Nothing should condemn you. You better arise. Nothing should pull you down. You better arise. Begin to pray. Begin to trust God. Begin to worship again. Come on, square your shoulders and say, it's my time. It's my moment. It's my opportunity. I will worship God again. Heaven shall open up because I will worship him. I will press on. I will press on. And I will press on. As I close, let me challenge you, church. I want us to be honest with each other. How many of you have prayed for something to happen and it never happened forever? Lift up your hand. You see that? We have prayed for things to happen and they've never happened. Does that make God a liar? No. The Bible says that God cannot lie. He's not like man to lie, nor like the son of man to change his mind. So, our failure to pray things into existence depends on our positioning. If you're still functioning under the spirit of law and death, it's because you have to do a lot of things to appease someone. But if you function under the spirit of Christ, the spirit of life that is in Christ, you are dependent on the grace of God. There is need for a change in your Christian life. Christianity is boring in law and death. Christianity is exciting in the spirit of life that is in Jesus Christ. Why can't you stand as we close this morning? Verse 14.
Holy Spirit. No. Yeah. Verse 14 says, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there is a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When we started this session, I said everyone is blessed and everybody was happy. Now we can all be blessed, but it's not all of us that are going to be rewarded. Amen. The efforts that we put towards serving God, these are the rewards that come. Hallelujah. Why am I saying so? There is a man in the Bible who gave gifts, who prayed to the Lord, and God said, all your sacrifices have come to heaven, and I am releasing this blessing upon your life. Amen. That was a reward. It was a reward because of the works that we do when we serve God. Hallelujah. But then Paul says something interesting in that verse. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word of God elsewhere, it says that many are called and a few are chosen, which means that all of us here are called, but a few are chosen. The class of those that are chosen, they belong to verse number 14, is those ones who press toward the mark. Hallelujah. Those ones who press toward the mark. May I have three bouncers here? Big men. Come, Alan, you're one of them. Come, Terence. Big men. Come, Spencer. Stand here. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Let's do another practical demonstration, hoping that this is going to help us here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. These guys are a hindrance. Stand there, sir. These guys, they are a hindrance. Hold your hands. I want you to form a formidable force. Really, really form, because I'm going to push. It's going to be embarrassing for you guys to fall down. Hallelujah. Okay. So church, this is what literally God is saying in his word. He says, I press on, which means that there is resistance. There is no Christianity without resistance. What you heard was a lie that says Christianity is a walk in the park. There is resistance within and without. People within and people without. So he says, I don't care what happens. If you read about Paul, some people within caused serious problems to him. He says, I press on. Hallelujah. I press on. You know, I press on. You guys are not doing a good job there. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's do a good job, okay? He says, I press on. You want to press on. You want to know Christ. It's a Sunday morning. And you want to go and hear more about Jesus. And all of a sudden, there is an assignment that needs to be done. And you go like this. Okay, there's an assignment. Let me just write the assignment today. Hallelujah. And then the following Sunday, you press on. You want to know about the word of God. Amen. You have a fight with your wife at 7:30. And you all feel not good to go to church because you've been fighting. Amen. So I'd rather just go back home and cool down, and then we'll go to church the next Sunday. Amen. You are not pressing on. You see that? And then you come from night shift. Man, I'm so tired. I'm worn out. Anyway, let me go and sleep. You know. And then you just come back. And then you can't worship God. You can't. And then you're coming from work. It's been a bad day. You can't even read the word of God. You try. I want to read this time. I want to read. But it's not happening. It's not happening. The thing is, you're not pressing on. I've got marital problems. Look at me. My marriage is different. Look at me. Look at me. Okay. I have a reason why things are not working in my life. I mean, look at me. There is a hindrance. For every Christian, there is a hindrance. Are you listening to me? There is an excuse, whether you're a student, whether you're married. Those who are married are saying, I'm having marital problems. Those who are not married, they're saying, I want to get married. I don't have a boyfriend. There is a problem everywhere. Those who are at school, they're saying, I'm at uni. Those who are after school, they're saying, work is so hard. There is pressure of meetings at work. There is always a hindrance. You understand that? But God is looking for a certain generation. It is a furious generation. It is a generation of men and women that says, I will break forth.
I don't care who you are, but I will break forth. I will give it a try. Fine, it's hard, but I will give it a try. They go to the gym of the spirit. They pray. They read the word of God. I will give it a try. I will give it a try. I've done it. I've done it. What am I saying today? It's time to press on. It's time to press on. It's time to press on. Are you listening to what I'm saying, church? You can't sit down and die, but you'd rather arise like those four lepers. The Bible said, I will not sit down and die here, but I will move on. I will get into the land. I will not be destroyed. Are you listening to me, church? Don't be a crybaby. It's time to break forth. It's time to change your prayer life. It's time to change the way you read the Bible. It's time to be aggressive in the spirit. Don't allow things just to happen. It's time to change things and say, I will make things happen. They will happen in my own way. Are you listening to? Lift up your hands. Everybody, lift up your hands. Why can't you begin to press on right now in prayer? Thank you, guys. Come on, press on in prayer. Press on, press on, press on, press on. Lift up your voice. I don't have to pray more than you. I need to hear you press. I need to hear you press. When you press, there is effort. When you press, there is energy. When you press, there is desperation. You better press on. You better step in. Step in, step in, step in. Step in, step in, step in. Let there be aggression. Let there be aggression. Step in and change your life. Step in and change your future. Step in, step in, step in. You can't give to the Lord. It's because you don't know how to press. Poverty. I command poverty to go. You got no hold upon the people of God. You can't imprison them forever. It's their time. It's their season. It's their moment to step into the supernatural. In the name of Jesus, I declare upon your life this morning that there is a change. I declare upon your life this morning that there is a reverse. I declare in your life this morning that there is promotion. I declare in your life this morning, it's a different day. It's a different season. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It's your season. I will press on. I will press on. Forgetting everything that lies behind, all the successes, all the witchcraft, I press on. All my failures, I press on. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. You can press on. 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 There is nothing too difficult for the Lord. I will not go back. I will not give up. It may be so hard. I will not give up. It may be painful. I will not give up. It may be confusing. I will not give up. I may be frustrated. I will not give up. It's my time. It's my time. It's my time. It's my time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Judah said something powerful here just before I taught. He gave an example of Moses. When the Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites. But there was Aaron and Hur who lifted up his hands so that he may keep pressing. Something marvelous happens in that story if you read it in the Word of God. The Bible says every time he was pressing, there was advancement. Every time he got tired and said, I can't do this at church anymore. I can't clean, I'm the only one who's cleaning. I can't do the accounts, I'm the only one who's doing that. I can't come for praise and worship, I'm the only one who comes early. I can't do ICT because everybody doesn't do it. But this guy said, I will lift up your hand that you may press on. I want you to stand in groups of four each. Quickly, quickly, quickly.
Make a circle. Yeah, you are four there. Hallelujah. Groups of four. Make a circle if you can. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. Just play something nice then. Pick it up. Pick up the tempo. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what we want to do as we close here this morning prophetically. I want you to pray for the person on your right. Ask their name, who they are. Ask who they are, like their name. I want you to pray for that person, that they may be able to press on. Hallelujah. That they may be able to harness the kingdom. That they may be able to discover the things the Lord has for them. Forgetting everything and pressing on toward the high prize of calling in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I think we can do this morning. Let us pray. Lift up your voice. Pray so passionately for them. Be passionate. The Bible says the effective prayer of a righteous man will avail more. You've been around that same mountain for a long time. It's the same story all the time. It's the same excuse all the time. You can't be saying the same things and expect things to change. It's time for you to press. It's time for you to press. It's time for you to press. Come on, be more passionate. You better get out of that box. You've been hidden for a long time. It's time for you to press on. Press on. Press on. Let the grace of our Lord Jesus, let it increase upon your life. Remember, you've been set free from the law of sin and death, but the law of the Spirit of life is coming upon you right now. That law is rising on you. You are rising again. You've been down for a long time. You are rising up again. You are different men again. New things are happening in your life. You are making inroads in the territory of the enemy. For the first time, your family will arise and shine, because the glory of the Lord rises upon your family. For the first time, the voice of God shall be heard in your family. For the first time, the excitement of the things of the kingdom shall be stirred up again. In the name of Jesus, press on. Press on. Come on, press on. Press on. Press on. You press on. I press on. It's resisting, but I press on. It's so hard. I press on. I'm sweating, but I press on. It's frustrating. I press on. I feel like giving up, but I press on. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus. Why can't you lift up your hands? Stretch them out to King Jesus. Worship Him. Pick up a nice song there. Just close your eyes as I close this afternoon. Thank you, Lord.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Break every chain. Uh-huh. Break every chain.
Break. Jesus, as we get into this week, Lord, I'm praying for Jesus to be renewed in our lives. I'm praying for the life of Christ to appear upon each and every one of these. Bless them, watch over them, increase them, protect them, give them the energy to press on for the high prize of their calling in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you and I bless your name. Receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Why can't you give just a pump on this morning?